two songs in a row called Thank You, Lord. Doesn't get better than that. The title of the sermon today is also Thank You, Lord. No, I'm kidding. But I am thankful to be here, thankful to have the opportunity to get to share with you guys about thankfulness. If you guys didn't realize it, we had Thanksgiving recently. And so it was this past Thursday, and it was a holiday, a time where we can refocus on being thankful, refocus on family, and refocus on buying a bunch of stuff we don't need. So it's a lot of fun, and it's easy to have Thanksgiving and to be a part of it, but kind of miss the point. It's easy to miss why we have it in the first place. And I really love what Troy was saying about that we live thankfulness and Thanksgiving every day. So it's not just one day a year, it's every day, every year for us that we get to live out Thanksgiving. And that's what we're really going to talk about today, what it means to be thankful and how we can live a life of thankfulness rather than just live a life without it. So the first thing that we're going to do is I want everybody to write down like the top three or the first three things that you're thankful for. If you have notes out already, you can just write it on there. If you don't, you should get something out. And just write down the three top things that you're thankful for. It doesn't have to be like the things you're most thankful for. It could just be what comes to mind first. Kids especially, I want you guys to do this because right after this time, I've got a bag of candy, and I'm going to have some kids come up here that want candy. Does anybody want candy? Probably not. No. Okay. You get two if you come and share one thing you're thankful for. But we'll get there. So think about it. Take a second. If you consider yourself to be a kid, you can come up. So it's largely open. So just those three things. Okay, whoever wants to come up and share one of their things can come on up. Go for it. What are you thankful for, Tyler?
I'm thankful for the church.
The church?
Oh. I'm thankful for God and Jesus.
God and Jesus.
I'm thankful for God.
For God? Okay.
I'm thankful for God and Jesus.
Okay, both of them.
I'm thankful for the world.
For the world. Oh. You can go ahead and grab some candy if you guys get them. What are you thankful for?
My Grammy.
Your Grammy? Oh. Go grab some candy.
I am thankful for my mom and dad.
Oh, parents.
I'm thankful for friends.
Friends. Amen. It's great to be thankful for stuff. Amen. There's a lot to be thankful for. So as you look over your list and look at the things that you are thankful for, it's important to ask yourself, why? Why are you thankful for those things? What about them makes you thankful for them? What about them makes them worth putting as something that you're thankful for? It's really easy to just say a few things that we're thankful for, but it's a lot harder to consider why we're even thankful for them in the first place. Like, why am I thankful for my family? I don't know. I'm just thankful for them, okay? But that's part of what we're going to assess a little bit today. So why don't we turn to Colossians chapter 3. It's a good scripture on thankfulness. We're going to start in verse 15. Hopefully it's up there. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. We were just doing that. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So Paul gives us a little insight as to what it looks like to be thankful. But it's really easy to get distracted. It's really easy to lose sight of the things that we are thankful for, to focus in on the things that are frustrating, the things that are hard. And we can be distracted by things that are important, things that matter a lot to us and affect us a lot. Or if you're like me, you get distracted by things that are really lame, and maybe even a little dumb to be distracted by. For example, Katie and I driving on the way home, you can just be driving along, and then somebody is going a little slower than you want to be going. And you're like, why don't you just go the speed limit, and everything will be fine, right? We're going home from Thanksgiving, and we're like yelling at these cars in front of us. That's one example. Or maybe it was time with your family, where you're spending the time with that brother that's just knows how to grind your gears real well, doesn't he? And you have some hope going into it. You're like, maybe this Thanksgiving will be different. And then he says a sentence, and you're like, never mind. Thanksgiving's over. Let's do Black Friday. It's really easy to get wrapped up in all of that stuff, especially when we're exhausted, especially when we are so spent from all the stuff or frustrated. We can focus in on those things. But that's not what picture Paul paints here. In fact, let's look at some elements in Paul's life of what was going on leading up to him even writing this book to the Colossians, or the people in Colossae. So by the time he had written this book, he had been ran out of multiple towns. He had been stoned so badly that they thought he was dead. And then he got up and then went back into the same town that just stoned him. That was ridiculous. He'd been flogged. He'd been shipwrecked and arrested and in jail. And while he was arrested, or while he was still under that, is when he wrote this book. So he's in jail or under house arrest, I'm not really sure, sending this letter about being thankful. I'm like, what? You have so much to not be thankful for, so much to be frustrated about. But that's the stuff that we can so easily focus on. And I bet Paul could so easily focus on as well, which is why he's calling them back to this. If we look back at the scripture, it talks about letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. It talks about whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it's all about perspective. And I think something that Paul was excellent at is having a thankful perspective. And that's what we need to be working on, so we don't get focused on the wrong things. So the first half of this is our focus, that we need to be focused on doing the things that we need to be doing, or focused on enjoying the things that are worth enjoying, rather than focusing on yelling at the cars in front of you, or focusing on your family member that's just irritating you and how great it would be if they just stopped. Instead of focusing on those things, Paul's calling us, God is calling us, to focus on more important things. Focus on those things that do make the list of things that we are thankful for. Because while we're focusing on that, I promise you, you're not going to get as frustrated. You're not going to get as irritated, and you're going to be able to live a lot happier. And that's what Paul had in mind here when he wrote this. So even with all that stuff that had gone on, and all of that was because of him preaching the gospel, he wasn't upset about any of it. He didn't even mention most of it in the book to the Colossians, except he says, remember my chains. And so he remembers that he is in this state. He acknowledges it, but that's not what he focuses on. What he focuses on during this time of trouble for him, during this time that's difficult, this time leading up to his execution, is These matters about letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Do you let the peace of Christ rule in your heart? I think the second aspect of this that we can find is in 1 Timothy. So let's turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Hopefully it's up there. We're going to start in verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul wrote this letter to Timothy as well. And he says, he talks about how he, Jesus, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He acknowledges and has full perspective on how lost he was, on where he'd be without God. And that is what makes him thankful, that he considers what his life would be like if it wasn't for what God had done. And I'd encourage you guys, we're not going to do it for the sake of time today, to look through Acts at the story of Paul. It's in Acts 9, and again in Acts 20, and again in Acts 25, because he tells his story two more times, and that's just what's recorded. So his story of how he's converted and of what God did for him to get him from how off he was to on track is incredible. But I promise you, we have just as incredible stories in this very room of how amazing God is, of the amazing things that God has done. And I can tell you, my life would not be anything close to what it is now if it wasn't for God. And that makes me thankful. That makes me realize who he is and understand that he's worth thanking, that he's worth giving my thankfulness to. And it's really hard when I keep that in mind to go back to doing stuff like that, to living like how I used to. And so as we consider where we would be without God, where we would be without Jesus and what he did, much like what Boo was talking about during the communion, that drives us to be truly thankful, to be truly grateful for what he's done, because we understand where we'd be without it. So as you look at the list of things that you are thankful for, things that you are grateful for, consider, where would you be without those things? Where would you be without your family? Where would you be without your parents, without your kids? Where would you be without your friends, without the different families here in the church? Where would you be without God, without Jesus? The list could go on and on, guys. And I encourage you to make an even longer list at home, because it's amazing to look back at this and see how our lives have been affected by each and everything that we're thankful for. Just a short list of the things I'm thankful for. I'm very thankful for the church back in Lawrence that has helped guide me in the youth of my spirituality, which I'm still in, but at least the first part, that they were patient, that they trained me, that they taught me so much. Didn't train me everything. Still haven't been trained in everything, but working on it. I'm thankful for my wife. I don't know where I'd be without her. Like, I can imagine, and it's terrible, so I just stop imagining it. So I would certainly not be as effective for God. I would not be who I am today. Learn many of the lessons that I've learned if it wasn't for her. and the patience of the people that have discipled me and are continuing to disciple me. I'm very thankful for that. I wrote that on my list twice because it's immense patience required for me. More than anything right now, other than God and Jesus, I'm thankful for you guys. That we can have moved here, not really known any of you guys, maybe met a few of you before, and feel like it's home. Feel like we're loved, supported, that we're with family when we're here. When we went back to Topeka with her family and Wichita with my family, we really wanted to come back here. And that's why we were yelling at those cars that were in front of us. We were like, we just want to be home with our people. So I am thankful for you guys. We are thankful for you guys and all the things that you've already done for us. And we haven't even been here 5 months. So imagine how thankful I'm going to be in the years to come for you guys. So thank you so much. And I'd encourage you guys to continue to look at the things you are thankful for. And so remember where you would be without those things. Amen? One last element here. If we have a thankful perspective, that should always lead to a thankful life. And that's what Paul exhibits. So we're going to turn, I didn't write it down here, so it should be the next slide. Next slide, maybe? 1 Corinthians 15:9. So let's start in verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle. This is, again, Paul saying this. Because I have persecuted the church of God. So first, in verse 9, he says where he would be without God. He was somebody who was hurting, murdering, imprisoning Christians. That's where he'd be without God, and so he's thankful. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Paul, living thankfully, didn't look like just saying thanks to God a bunch of times. Didn't look like him just praying prayers that were like, God, thank you so much for all that you've done for me. Those things are good, and you should pray to God for how thankful you are, but it should never end there. Paul's life was characterized by this thankfulness. It was characterized by what it meant to really be thankful, and that was to go out and do stuff about it. So go out and live the life that God has called us to live. That is exactly what Paul went on to do. So even with all that other stuff going on, we got a next slide here that shows what Paul did in a map. So he took several missionary journeys where he went to all these places, got kicked out of a lot of them, but did everything he could to share the gospel to all of those places. His life was characterized by thankfulness. Amen? Was not just something that he thought about, was not just something he internalized, but something he lived. And so this is what Paul chose to do because he was thankful. Now, does this have to be what our lives look like? Do we have to paint a map and draw all over it of where the places we've gone? Not necessarily. But this is what it looks like to really live a thankful life. A life that is all about being thankful to God. Does his grace, as Paul said, affect you? What effect does it have on you? Because if your life is not characterized by thankfulness, I would go as far as to say you're not thankful. I would go as far as to say that you need to live this stuff out in order to truly be everything it means to be thankful. Paul is an incredible example of what it looks like to truly be thankful. Because he not only understood where he came from, where he'd be without God, and would always focus on the important things, focus on the things worth being thankful about, but he lived that out. He did everything he could, everything, to reach as many people as he could. And maybe he wasn't always the best trained. Maybe he wasn't always the most eloquent when he spoke. But he did everything that he could to let God be known everywhere, to the entire known world. I have no doubt that Paul believed that he and the rest of the disciples would evangelize the entire world before he died. Now, that didn't end up happening, but do we have that same fire? Do we have that same inspiration that we want to make as many people, wherever we are, know that Jesus is Lord of this universe, that he is the one and only God, and that he is sovereign over everything, and that he loves us more than anything? But that doesn't mean we shouldn't follow him. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do everything he calls us to do. Amen? That is what it looks like to truly be thankful. And that's all I have for today. Thank you, guys.
Wow, well, I think I realize how ungrateful I've been.